got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday, week two of the Mac Attack. Mark Seidel, what's up, buddy? Ryan McKinnell here. Got Mark Seidel across the way. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we are going to be joined, boots on the ground, Ed Graney of our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas, of course, the Review Journal. He is Atlanta holding things down and going to give us a report before Media Day kicks off tomorrow. The festivities begin tonight. Going to get Ed's thoughts on all things Super Bowl related. But as I said, it's week two here on the Mac Tech. Thank you for joining us. Going to get to Ed here shortly. Got a story on tap as far as the NBA goes. But yeah, I want to talk to a little bit Mark Seidel. How you doing, pal?
Good.
Yeah.
All is well, my man.
Living well?
Yes, sir.
There you go. There you go. So you see this news out of the NBA. It's kind of dominated the headlines. There's a side note I want to get to this story first, but news out of New Orleans. Big news, huge news, ground, earth-shattering news if you're an NBA fan. Anthony Davis has asked for a trade.
Yeah, and I think we all know or have an idea of what that means and where he wants to go and where his agent probably wants to steer him.
Well,
yeah, I mean, he's averaging almost 30 and 14 right now.
He's unstoppable.
He's, you know, one of the top two or three players in the NBA right now.
100%. It's him, LeBron James, and then sub in whoever you want to put in there.
James Harden.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
No, I mean, literally. It is. You're right. It's Harden. It's Durant. That. It's Paul George with the seasons he's having.
Yeah.
But it's a very limited space who you want to throw in that top three. Anthony Davis is for sure there.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the market now. We don't know exactly how it's, but he signed for another year and a half. So it gets really interesting who wants to give up what to not just get a rental.
Yeah.
You're not just getting a rental. You're getting a year and a half rental potentially, but you got to think whoever pulls the trigger on this is going to be doing it with the understanding that Anthony Davis is going to be joining for the long term. It's really interesting. There's so many possibilities. He says he wants to go to a winner. He says he wants to go to a contender, but that doesn't mean it has to be a winner and contender this year, because as we know, next year, the whole NBA gets broken wide open. Kevin Durant's a free agent. On top of, he leads a free agent class of many signings, right? Yeah. Jimmy Butler's in that class. There's a lot of people that you can look at where, hey, if they end up somewhere, the whole landscape shifts. For example, if Anthony Davis, wink, wink, nod, nod, works out an understanding that, hey, I'm going to go to New York and Kevin Durant is going to follow, not that you want to be enveloped in the whole Dolan craziness or Gar and Paxson, Foreman and Paxson in Chicago. But if that's an option, the swings that could happen off this Anthony Davis move are astronomical.
Oh, yeah. It can completely reshape the NBA for, you know, 10 years.
Now, you brought up a city that is obviously very interested in this, a city that is very near and dear to our hearts, just a few hours to the west of us, and that is, of course, Los Angeles. If you have any idea or any questioning how big this Anthony Davis story is in Los Angeles, I want to read this to you. This is from Tanya Ganguly. She is a beat writer, okay, for the Los Angeles Times. She is the Lakers beat writer. She tweeted this out about 4 hours ago. The most popular stories for the LA Times as Super Bowl week kicks off. This was at 11:20 this afternoon. Number one, Anthony Davis. Two, Dodgers. Three, Dodgers. Four, Lakers. Five, USC. Six, Rams. Seven, Rams. So the top five stories in LA right now have nothing to do with the Rams. And the number one story is Anthony Davis. Does that surprise you at all?
No. I mean, we talked about this last week. The Rams fans, you know, when they saw that the Rams were going to the Super Bowl, we saw how non...
Is that game?
Yeah. We saw how, I'm doing air quotes, excited they got. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all, especially with LeBron James there.
No, especially with LeBron James, and it is the Lake Show. It is the purple and gold and the excitement level that you've got to be feeling, especially with the pieces that they have. If they're doing a trade right now, with Lonzo, with Kuzma, with the first rounder, they've got some options that they can play with. Not saying they want to do that, but it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out.
Oh,
certainly a big day in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to, you know, this is going to, it's going to take a Brandon Ingram, a Kyle Kuzma, and a Lonzo Ball, and a pick, you know, some form of combination of those four to get this done. So they're going to, and those are good players. You know, these are guys that have been playing well for the Lakers and could, you know, give New Orleans something to to build around. New Orleans isn't just going to give him away just because, you know, your player comes to you and says, I want to trade.
Yeah,
you obviously know he's not going to re-sign with you. So at some point in time, you're going to.
And they want to.
Yes.
They've been vocal about, hey, we want to do what's best for Anthony Davis, yeah. Which what a great out for him,
yeah.
That he has someone that clearly cares about him. But what a terrible 8 days for New Orleans, man.
Yeah.
You go from the blown no call to Roby Coleman to this. It is a bit of chaos for New Orleans. We're going to be talking about that plenty more as the week goes by. See what happens with Anthony Davis. But for right now, it's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
Now, as we said, the Super Bowl mark is just a few short days away. It's getting closer and closer. Ed Graney is going to be coming up in about 10 minutes. He's live in Atlanta. Ed Graney from the Review Journal and our sister station here, one half of the press box on ESPN Las Vegas. Ed Graney, he's going to be talking all things Rams and Patriots and get his thoughts on the upcoming media day. But this is a story, Mark, that I've got ahead of media day that, I mean, both of these coaches are going to be asked about it. And it's a very simple headline, and I have so many thoughts about this. I can't wait to talk to you. The very simple headline, the headline I have written is Belichick has been texting McVay all season. Now, this is a story that's been making the rounds. Sean McVay spoke to Peter King of NBC Sports, and I want to read you this quote from McVay. This season, he has basically texted me after every one of our home games. After we beat Minnesota in September, he texted, man, you guys are really explosive and impressive and fun to watch. Congratulations. Keep it rolling.
Yeah, it seems weird.
It seems weird because it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Bill Belichick does not seem – Bill Belichick seems like he wouldn't even, like, text his son after his son had a child. Like, congratulations. Like, no. Like, Bill Belichick
– Bob,
like,
we had a baby, eats a yeah. boy. I feel like I can bring that back up now
because
yeah. It's making the rerun run. Yeah. Yep. Bill had a baby, eats yeah. a boy.
Something about this just seems off.
Yeah. Well, it seems off because, as you said, he seems like not like the most jolly and jovial fella. Now, listen, I don't know Bill Belichick. He could very well be a super, you know, hands-on, loving, vocal,
yeah.
you know, dude. I've never seen that.
No.
I've never seen it in any way, shape, or form, not behind the scenes. I saw a documentary they did with Parcells about the coaching tree. They did the 30 for 30 last year.
Yep.
And I saw a little bit of moisture in his eye when he was talking about the past. Like, he was almost going to tear up, but then, like, the robot took over, and it's yeah. like, okay, it's Bill Belichick. I hear this story. First of all, maybe, Mark, Belichick is just trying to bolster his resume. Because everyone who seems to be friends with Sean McVay can get a coaching job. So maybe if this stuff doesn't work out in New England,
uh-huh.
maybe Bill's just working on that resume and just making sure that his game's tight and he's got something lined up down the road.
He wants to come down and be a yeah. defensive coordinator yeah. In L.A.?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the McVay tree, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my first thought. No, but seriously, my first thought was this reminded me so much of another – and this is the thing about Belichick. Like, of all the things he is, what we know he is stoic and competitive. Right?
Very.
So when something goes outside of that norm and it ventures so far away from what we've become accustomed to expect from a guy like Bill Belichick, my radar initially goes up. I initially get triggered and I start wondering where the story is. And I'll tell you what the story is. This is Michael Jordan all over again.
Yeah.
This is something Jordan used to do with Charles Barkley, with Spud Webb, with a lot of people that he considered friends.
Yeah.
And as time went on, people realized, Michael Jordan has no friends. It was all under the guise of a leg up. It was all with the understanding that it was his competitive verse. Muggsy Bogues talked about it. It wasn't Spud Webb. It was Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues, two small guys. Sorry about that for a Charlotte guy.
Uh-huh.
but no, it was Muggsy. Him and Mike had went back a little bit, and Muggsy had talked about how, and I'm paraphrasing here, they thought they had a friendship. They went out for dinner. And then one game, one series, a few years down the line after they had been talking and friends, Muggsy and Jordan went out for dinner, and Muggsy, I believe, was going through some personal problems. And Muggsy shared some personal stuff with him. I think like a wife or something.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I do remember is they went out to dinner the night before, and the next game, Jordan brought it all to the court.
Yeah.
And he was talking. He was insulting his height, which is something he always did. But then he insulted his manhood. It was like, that's why your wife left you. Or just something yeah. super, super cutting, where Muggsy said he stood back, and he was like, oh, I saw his true colors. Like, it was beyond the realm of competitiveness, and it was vindictiveness, and it was venom, and he didn't like it, and he never talked to Michael again, or at least he you know, at that point. I don't know how that story exactly ended up, but I hear this Belichick thing, and it's the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Belichick doesn't care about you.
No.
He's not your friend.
He doesn't care about you, Sean McVay.
No, he does not care about you. He's not checking in on you.
Yeah.
How's the boy genius doing? No, you know what he's doing? He's looking at the offseason moves you made and how good of a season you had last year. And he's like, you know what? There's a really good chance that I'm going to be seeing Sean McVay in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So any sort of anything I can have on him is points to me.
He's laying the groundwork of what's to come.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you're Bill Belichick, and here's the last, and here's and I don't know if McVay's outplaying Belichick with this or if Belichick played McVay. But the final thing after you hear the quotes with that last line of congratulations, keep it rolling, here's what McVay said after he heard that quote. He said, for him to even take the time to say congrats, it's pretty cool. That's one of the things I like about our business, our fraternity of coaches. As competitive as it is, guys find the time to share when they can. I'm still young, still figuring it out. That stuff's been really helpful to me. You are still young, Sean McVay.
Yeah, you got a lot to learn, playboy.
Yeah, you do, buddy. He is the boy genius, but I can't help but wonder if a guy like Bill Belichick is using some of those old wily tricks. Build a little bit of sympathy. Make you feel like, hey, this is a father figure. He cares about me. Maybe you don't step on the throat in the way you would.
Yeah.
Listen, any little .001 advantage is worth it.
100%. 100% worth it. And there's a reason why Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, and there's a reason why the Patriots are the Patriots.
Yeah, and I wonder if Belichick even knows, like if he's even cognizant of it. That, like maybe in his mind he is trying to be a good dude. But then there's that inner devil, that angel and devil on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's that subconscious is pushing him to play the game a little
bit.
Keep
doing it. Keep going. Yeah.
And like you said, that's why the Patriots and Bill Belichick are who they are, because, and that's why Jordan was who he was. It doesn't just end on the field.
No.
This is year round. And Bill Belichick knows how to play the game.
Yeah, if you ain't built for it, man, go home.
Yeah, hey, speaking of, thank you for the segue, Mark Sedell. Built in there perfectly. Speaking of built for it, this opening round was sponsored by VIP Collision. You can catch them out at 323 SunPac Court in Henderson right off the 215. I've been talking about them all week. Last week, they are one of our best sponsors for a number of reasons. Not only are they sports fans and Golden Knights fans, but they believe in customer service. And I get labeled an SJW. I get labeled a snowflake here and there. You hear me on this show. You hear me on Cofield occasionally. I like to be vocal about certain things, but really all that centers around is care. I care about where I spend my money. I care about the things I care about, and that translates exactly to VIP Collision. They are 5-star Yelp rating on Yelp. Some of that people, it doesn't matter. It should, especially when you're ranking that high. Also, they are A-plus rated by their Better Business Bureau. They're family-owned and operated, and the biggest thing, and I speak from experience with this, they stay with you through the process. So if you're getting your car done, if you're getting your body work done, and you're feeling a little uneasy, you want those check-ins, you want someone to stay with you and to make you feel at ease, Steve and the folks over at VIP Collision are your go-to. Their customer service is paramount, and as I said, they're VGK fans. What more could you want? That is the opening round, sponsored by VIP Collision. When we come back, we got Ed Graney calling in from Super Bowl 53. Rams and Patriots coming up next. Keep it locked. The Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right. Super Bowl 53 is just 6 days away as the Rams get squared off against the Patriots in Atlanta. And joining the show right now to talk a little bit about that matchup and all things Super Bowl related, Las Vegas Review-Journal's own and one half of the press box on our sister station over on ESPN Las Vegas, the intrepid one, as Clay Baker likes to call him, Ed Graney. How you doing, Ed?
How are you, buddy? Nice. How's the show? I'm proud of you. I hope it's going well.
Thank you. Having a lot of fun. Glad to have you on. You didn't make it in the first week, but it's basically the first week. It's day this six.
I'll take any day I can get to be on your show.
Nah, man, I'm really happy to have you on. So first off, how's Atlanta? I know you haven't been there too long, but it's early. We got media day tomorrow. You know, things are getting underway a little bit. What's your vibe on the host city thus far?
So I was just talking to Mark during the break. He knows this part of the country well. Atlanta for a Super Bowl and the opening night, the media night's in a couple hours here. I'm going to walk over for it because now it's opening night and it's still buffoonery and craziness, but they'll have it tonight and it'll get a little calmer after that. But Mark and I kind of agreed, like, if you've been in Atlanta at the CNN building and now where the Mercedes-Benz Center is, it's one of the best places for what we do for a Super Bowl. Everything literally is within walking distance, and I'm not talking about long walks. They call it the campus. So anything to cover this and everything they do for fans and an engagement is, like, right here. And I'm kind of trying to envision Vegas, and I think Vegas wants it in 2025. You know, they'd have to do something with the convention center and just kind of make the stadium game only. But here, including the stadium. It's all within walking distance. So for that, it's great. I don't know if I'm going to walk the streets late at night. I'll probably run to the shuttles. But for what we do in covering it, there's really few places that are better.
Oh, you get the live stream on that. Hit Twitter for that when you run.
Yes, exactly.
Do a little POV action.
It's all about video, so I'm sure I'll be doing video-licious or something tonight as we're running for the shuttle.
Right. All right, here with Ed Grady from the Review Journal and one half of the Press Box over on ESPN Las Vegas. Ed, did you see the story about McVay and Belichick texting each other throughout the season?
I just saw that. I did two stories that popped up today. I saw, well, I don't even know why we're here because I've seen three stories today. One, the Rams have already beaten the Patriots in Madden 19. So I guess if that's the predictor, and actually the Rams came back from 14 to beat Brady. So if that's the predictor, I don't know why we're here. And I did see that where they talked at the combine, I guess, and they made a relationship. And, you know, that's going to be, you know, the storylines are going to be obvious, you know, the greatest ever against the young genius, and, you know, the greatest ever quarterback against the young kid. So that's good. I mean, there's got to be stories. I thought Roby Coleman stuff about Brady today was good in terms of, you know, right. When I saw the headline, I didn't think he took that many shots after I read the exact quotes, but, you know, anything now to get anyone here fired up about coming up with storylines, it'll be front and center, because when the Patriots have been here this much, and I can tell you haven't been to most of their Super Bowls, it's really hard finding things. I mean, they don't, you know, they're not media out in front, obviously, with Brady and Belichick. They say very little. Right. So anytime you can see something like coaches texting or some kind of storyline, you just jump on it, because when it comes to the Patriots, there's not many of those.
Yeah, it's a great point. And sometimes in the case of the Patriots, they have to manufacture their own drama and their own bulletin board material. But this, listen, we were just talking about it before he brought you on. This texting thing is so interesting to me from this standpoint. It goes away from everything that at least I have come accustomed to expect from Bill Belichick. And I likened it, my initial knee-jerk reaction, Ed, was he doesn't care about you, McVay. He's doing research. He's planting the seed for later. And it reminded me very much of another competitive individual and the greatest of all time, and Michael Jordan, who used to befriend people, but not with the actual intent of having friends. It was always, how can I use this against you later? Do you have that vibe off Belichick, or am I looking too much into it?
That's a great point. No question. There's no way. Who wants to be friends with this guy?
Exactly.
I mean, he's 66 and 33. They're not going to be friends ever. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Sean is smart enough to figure some stuff out about, you know, what he's doing and not give him anything other than, hey, I have a ton of respect for you too. But there's no question that it would be to gain an advantage, and you know, again, that's probably why he's the best ever, and right. You know, why he's such an incredible coach. But I mean, so, you know, he's not having this guy. I don't think he's having this guy for dinner in the offseason. I'm going to try to actually track down for a story tonight. You know, Bill Belichick's son is on the staff,
right?
And like, you know, his whole thing, like, do your job. And ask the kid, like, was he screaming, do your chores? I mean, is this nut job like raise kids like he coaches people? I mean, I'm actually hoping the kid will talk, but if he's just like the dad, he probably won't say anything. So Belichick's really hard at these things to write. And Michael Gelkin, my esteemed colleague at the Review Journal, he called me up and goes, look, you take the Patriots. Like, he was doing me a favor. You know, he goes, I'm going to take the Rams. They've got a few angles I like. And I said, yeah, like all of them. But we'll try to get some good stuff out of Belichick or the Sun. Last year at this opening night, he gave some kind of curt answer about do your job and, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And I wrote it would have been a nice answer had it not been answered to a 10-year-old. Who some poor media kid who had to ask the old man a question. But I totally agree with you on Belichick being, if he was texting anybody, one, I can't believe he's texting, but if he is texting, it's to gain an advantage.
I completely agree, and I'm going to end it on this. McVay ended it was an interview by Peter King, but here's what he ended all of his quotes and what he said the relationship was like. This is McVay. He said, for him to even take the time to say congrats is pretty cool. That's one of the things I like about our business, our fraternity of coaches. As competitive it is, guys find time to share where they can. I'm still young, still trying to figure it out. That stuff's been really helpful to me. Ed, McVay's not that stupid, right?
No, of course not. He knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, it's good for McVay. You just don't, you know, I mean, you're not going to give him anything. You're not going to show him, you know, I saw some of the quotes, you know, your offense is explosive. Yes, it is. Thank you very much. I mean, wait, I'm going to tell you the play in fifth grade on the playground I remember. I mean, no, I'm sure McVay knows better, but McVay's a really smart guy. He's not going to give anything. And like I said, when we talk about the Coleman comments about Brady, I actually think that's kind of funny. Look, you know, with the weird Patriots, it's like, you know, I don't think Brady, you know, he tries to manufacture this whole thing, we suck and everything, and maybe he'll say some stuff about the Coleman comments, but you don't, if you win five rings, you don't need people to motivate you. I mean, I think it's crazy people go nuts here that this guy got under Brady's skin. Nothing gets under his skin. He'll talk about it tonight, but you know, he doesn't need the motivation. I thought it was cool the guy came out and did it, because if you don't have that around the Patriots, if you don't have guys in the other team or other coaches talking about them, it becomes a really long week. Like with the Patriots, like 1 week seems like 20. Because, you know, I go to every one of their press conferences, they just say nothing. So if McVay, you know, can somehow talk about texting, or Nicole Coleman can somehow rip Brady, even though it wasn't a rip, it'll be a much, much better week.
Here with Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Hey, Ed, you you brought up the 10-year-old asking the question. Media day is tomorrow?
No, it's tonight. So a couple years back, after the 14th bride asking Brady to marry him, they actually went primetime. What a shock to the league. Make more money off it TV-wise.
Right.
So it's called opening night. So we're all going to head over there, and it's the Rams for an hour, followed by the hoodie and Brady for an hour. It's the same thing. They're all on risers, although at this point, Nicole Coleman's not on a riser. I think they're going to change that because you have about 1,000 people around him. But so it's tonight, and you get the same. You know, you get the lunatics and the people from the Kimmel show, and you get all the craziness, but they get it out of the way tonight, and then starting tomorrow, you kind of each team holds their own press conference each day, and you go from there. They kind of get it out of the way on opening night now instead of having a day of it.
Okay, so what are the craziest media day experiences you've had? Like, what, you know, in the combat sports realm, in boxing and MMA, something that used to always drive me nuts, and you do have the characters, and especially the bigger events, it can get a little bit more Looney Tunes, right? But the line cutters, man. The line cutters always drove... I have a real issue with habitual line cutters. I wanted to get your thoughts and some of your crazier stories from Super Bowl media days.
Well, here's the thing about these things. Unless you're really dialed into a certain angle, Belichick and Brady are not worth it, because you'll never get near the podium. I mean, there are people who literally stamp out there and never move from them. You know, they do... You can hear it on radio, and they obviously give quotes at the end of the night, so you can kind of hear what they said. So I prefer kind of to like go throughout the floor and get other people. Like I said, Belichick's son will probably be sitting in the stands. I can sit with him, and I try to get people that maybe don't have 1,000 people around them, because those people are going to get close from anyway. You'll have the brides dressed up. You'll have the nut jobs from Australia, the radio people who come every year dressed like lunatics. You know, crazy things. Yeah, you know how you'll have the kid reporters. If you go in, you know, being like kind of get off my lawn guy, it's not a good night. You have to know what it's about. This is a one night for this. You know, it can be funny. There can be some funny questions. You just have to deal with it, because tomorrow kind of starts the football stuff. So it'll be crazy, and there'll be people cutting in lines and talking over people and everything. But, you know, if you know it going in, it's fun, and you get your work done as much as you can, and then get out of there, and then you try to come up with different angles. I found one today I think I'll try to go. Sean McVay actually went to high school about 10 minutes from here, maybe 12 miles. So I'll probably jump in an Uber and try to find his high school and his high school coach. And at Super Bowls, you kind of have to do that. The angles are so, you know, obvious on the main ones. You kind of have to look for different stories. So maybe I'll go out and try to find his high school, and his high school coach is still there. He's been 32 years. But other than that, it's kind of going day to day. Goodell will have his press conference Wednesday. We know the call against the Saints will be a main purpose of that. We're hoping to hear, you know, where might the Raiders play their home games next year. So some, you know, there'll be some news out of it maybe for Vegas. But you know, like I said, it's a weird with the Patriots. You don't get much on their end. So I think people this week will definitely gravitate towards the Rams.
Yeah, and they'll probably gravitate. You know, you brought up the officiating a little bit there and some of those stories.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, there's that story, and we're going to talk about it coming up here in about 10 minutes, Mark and I, but there is that story of everyone finding out that four of those officials from the Saints and L.A. Rams game, four of them resided in Southern California, and there's this rumor out there that people around the league are concerned. And here we are, Ed. You know, it's a week later, and we're still talking about this. Last week, it was they're going to take him to court and try to get it overturned and replay the game. Like, when is this going to die?
Well, I'm hoping it dies tonight. I mean, you must be writing my column, because I think pretty high in the column, it's going to be like, can we move on now? I mean, look, you know, when I step outside, I'm sure I'll also see another one of those crazy billboards, that nut job from New Orleans. He bought 10 of them around town. I wish I had that kind of money.
What happened? I missed that. Know, what's going on?
Some nut job who owns a car dealership in New Orleans bought 10 billboards in downtown Atlanta, ripping Goodell, ripping the league, Saints got screwed, you messed this up. And, you know, Atlanta's like, look, if you're going to overpay for the boards, you know, we'll sell them to you. I mean,
sure.
I don't know if Atlanta really wanted that, but if the guy's going to pay top dollar, you're going to let him have his billboards, and he's got about 10 of them around town. But I hope it ends tonight. I, again, at some point, a lot of calls were missed. It was obviously egregious. There's no question about that. Everyone knows it was a horrible call. But you got to move on at some point. They didn't make the game. This is the game. And I hope after tonight, and I think tonight people will try to bury it, other than, you know, car dealership owners from New Orleans.
Well, yeah.
Can you imagine having that kind of money?
To blow it on your sports team like that, on your indignant at a bad call. And listen, I'm with you. It's an egregious call. It was horrible. It was arguably the worst call in the history of playoff football. But it's as you said. At some point, you have to. But there's nothing you can do. You can't actually go back and replay it.
And the grandstanding of the attorneys in New Orleans with the lawsuits. Come on.
Yeah, no, it was a little ridiculous. Jeez. And it makes a really great football town and a great town in general look weak. And it's not something they need. It's not something the Saints need. It's not something Drew Brees needs.
No.
It
also supports the idea about tort law in our country. Like, too many people, when you get these nut jobs suing people, they're thinking the game's over, right? I believe the whole thing about tort law and how many, there's too many lawsuits around and people just with an ability to sue someone for anything.
We don't have enough time on this show, Ed, to get into that, especially in the city.
You and I have got to make our law system great again.
There you go, buddy. Especially in a city like Las Vegas, where it seems to happen with some frequency of regularity. But hey, we love Battleborn and all of our great sponsors and personal injury attorneys. Let's not get that twisted. And let's pivot here just a little bit. Obviously, you were in the Super Bowl, and one of the reasons you are at the Super Bowl and covering the Super Bowl, you are on the Raiders beat. You do cover the Raiders all season long. A couple notes from the Raiders this weekend. First of all, John Gruden was out at the Senior Bowl slapping Raiders stickers on high school kids or on college kids' helmets. Is there a violation there? Did you have any issue with that, or was it all in fun and good fun? Yeah, way to go, Ryan.
I think in funny ways, I think it would be more of a violation if they were high school kids and you recruit them. I mean, it's not. Here's the thing: it's not the kid's choice where he's going to be pro. It's going to be the pro team drafting him. So, you know, in high school, obviously the kid makes the decision. Well, this time he can slap all the, you know, stickers he wants, but he's going to be making the decision on who he picks. So it was just Gruden kind of being crazy. I mean, you know, look, when you're coaching that game, it means one thing: you had a crappy season. So, you know, he and the Niner coaching staff, they had bad seasons, so that's what they got to do. I think it was good. I think a lot of times, as he said, you not only add people to your draft list after watching them all week, you erase them also. So I'm sure he saw guys out there who was like, "Hey, I thought he was good," or Mayock thought he was good, and now we're not so sure. And I'm sure some other guys opened his eyes. So it's just Gruden being a crazy person running around with stickers. But if I'm the league, I wouldn't care, because, again, he's either going to pick him or he's not. And it's not going to be, I hope, well, Gruden's nuts, but I hope it's not based on if he gave a guy a sticker, then they might be in more trouble than we think.
Well, you bring up John Gruden's mental stability. It was called into question a few times throughout this season. And I'm reading this headline, Ed, and I can't make sense of it. It's from Pro Football Talk, and the headline is, "Raiders may draft a first-round quarterback and keep Derek Carr." What in this draft class? I'm really struggling here, Ed. Are you with this? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, after being around him, there's no chance, and that would be pushing the edge of the edge. There's no chance I don't think ever completely shocked at anything he does. But that would shock me. I was thinking about if they saw Bosa. You know, would you trade up? I don't think you'd do that for a defensive end, even if you think he's great. There's too many defensive players in the draft. I think you'd do that for quarterbacks only. And, again, whether he's lying or not, Kingsbury came out and said, you know, Rosen's his guy for the future. Obviously, everything's based. You know, I mean, Kyler Murray, you know, it all depends on if you believe his quotes. I mean, Gruden could have just been saying, look, I've changed my view, and I'm okay with smaller guys when I wasn't. Or it could be something much more nefarious that he was putting out there, that he really likes Kyler Murray and they might do something. I thought it was very interesting at Mike Mayock's introductory press conference when he was asked about Carr. And, you know, his first response, now he's tempered it since, but his first response is, you know, there's no one, you know, I don't know if there's anyone secure. We have to evaluate everyone. And I thought that was really interesting. Now, since then, he said Derek Carr is, you know, our guy of the future, maybe because he realizes no one's taking that contract.
Yeah.
But if you told me he did anything in the draft, and I'll be in Nashville at the draft, that I won't be surprised. And nothing he does surprises me. I think Mayock, I do hope he listens to Mayock. He'll never like him. He'll always make the decisions. Mayock won't make any decisions. But if there's anything Mayock seems to know, maybe, and he's missed with guys, I get that, but he seems to evaluating people, and you'd hope that's why I brought him in, to at least listen. Maybe not agree all the time, but at least listen. Because this is a huge draft for them, because if they keep all three first-round picks, this guy better get really better defensively, because then he probably needs a wide receiver too. There are holes on that team, and probably a lot bigger holes than Carr, if we're honest with each other. I mean, is he Brady? No, but I mean, I don't think he's their biggest problem, put it that way, after watching them. Their biggest problem is they can't get to the quarterback, and they have a quarterback who they can't protect. So those are pretty major problems.
Yeah, no, good stuff, Ed. As always, is Ed Graney from the Review Journal and ESPN Las Vegas. You find him on Twitter, at Ed Graney. Ed, what do you got going up? I know you mentioned the McVay story. You're going to go check out his old high school. What can fans and readers expect to see from you tonight and tomorrow?
Well, if I can talk Gelkin into giving me some Ram angles, I'll write as much about that. But now we have a special section come out in the Review Journal on Friday, like we always do, and Gelkin and I will have both teams covered. And I'll go to opening night tonight and go to Goodell's press conference. I'm going to try to write something on Mike Mayock this week. And,
okay.
And then on Sunday we'll have a huge thing on, you know, the Mercedes-Benz Center is probably the jewel of stadiums right now, and it's going to be comparing to Vegas, because in 2025, Vegas wants to do what Atlanta's doing and host one of these things, and it's easier said than done. But I think Vegas will get a Super Bowl, 25 or 26, and a lot goes into it. This is not just saying, hey, we're going to host a Super Bowl and like a year later doing it. This is years and years of planning. So we'll take a look at that, and yeah, who knows? You know what? Seidel, if I can talk this kid into a raise, I'll put up a Ryan McKinnell radio billboard in town.
Yeah,
I'll find
let's
out how
do
much it.
It
is, and we'll pop one of those babies up right outside the stadium.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. The brand is strong, Ed Graney. I would appreciate that.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Great stuff as always.
Right.
That's Ed Graney from the Review Journal, ESPN.
Congrats on the show, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Definitely appreciate it. Learn from the best. Got to spend some time with Ed on the press box last year. Fun dude. Him and Clay. Always make things lively.
Ed's a good dude.
He is.
I'm a fan of Ed's.
And a ton of experience, and a really great resource to rely on, whether it be, you know, if you're a reader and you're a fan of the Raiders, Golden Knights, just NFL national stories in general. Dude's been around, got very good perspective, and something I really appreciate, an actual media member.
Yeah, and he just won Nevada Sports Writer of the Year for like the seventh time.
Yeah. Like, pretty solid endorsement.
You know you're doing something right when that's on your on your resume.
He's got a great eye for stories, and he's great on the radio, and we appreciate him giving us a few minutes. He talked about a story about he's going to check out Sean McVay's old high school. He's going to reunite with him. Well, here's something you might not know. In high school, Sean McVay was actually a better player than one Calvin Johnson. Oh, yeah, it's true. Going to tell you about it more coming up next.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Back here on the Mac Attack. So we just spoke to Ed Graney. If you missed any of that conversation, you can find it up after the show on the podcast at lvsportsnetwork.com. And Mark, he hinted that he was going to be making a little trip tomorrow to visit Sean McVay's old high school in Georgia.
Why would he be doing that?
Well, I'll tell you why. So the high school is Marist. It's in Georgia. Has some pretty good alumni along with it, or in the state of Georgia, I should say. It's not the same high school, but it is in the same state. In 2003, Sean McVay was obviously playing high school ball in that same state. He was at Marist, the aforementioned high school. He was a quarterback. In that same state, there was a player by the name of Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
You might remember him.
Yeah, I think so.
Went the Barry Sanders route in Detroit, meaning he played really, really well for about 10 years and then quit because the Lions are terrible.
Yep. Said, nah, I'm done here.
It is pretty amazing that the Lions have that sort of staying power in terms of taking people's love and passion, that 25 years after you did it to the best running back of all time, you do it again to the best wide receiver of all time, arguably one of.
One of the best wide receivers of his generation.
100%. But in 2003, he won the best player in the state of Georgia.
So say some people.
So says some people. No, this is crazy. In 2003, in the state of Georgia, Sean McVay won Offensive Player of the Year in high school football, beating out Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, well, I will say this is back when I was heavily involved in recruiting and stuff like that. Calvin Johnson wasn't, I want to say he was like a three-star, so he was still highly regarded, you know, but he wasn't, you know, he went to Georgia Tech to a school that he ran the triple option.
Oh, I remember. I had tickets to see Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young opening night. I believe it was 2006, but I delayed. I said, you know what? I'm not going to go to the show. It was September 3rd. It was my birthday, but Notre Dame was opening against Georgia Tech. Notre Dame that year was very, very good. They had Brady Quinn. Uh-huh. They were coming off, I believe, the Bush push the year before. There were some high hopes for that Notre Dame team.
Think about that, what you just said.
Yeah, I know.
Notre Dame was very good. They had Brady Quinn at quarterback.
Charlie Weiss on the sidelines, which I still think they're paying off that contract. But no, what I vividly remember is Calvin Johnson just deboing that entire team, I think, en route to like four touchdowns. And
dude was a beast.
Yeah, kept my eye on him the rest of it. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, you knew about him prior to that season. But anyway, so McVay that season at Marist, he rushed for 2,600 yards. He threw for 40 touchdowns, and he added 2,500 yards and 18 touchdowns through the air. He had 2,600 yards and 40 touchdowns rushing, 2,500 passing, and 18 through the air.
Yeah.
Like, he literally is one of those guys that was just limited by his height and, you know, just really God gifted abilities.
Yeah.
Wasn't
6'5"
right.
with a rocket laser arm.
Right. But his mind?
Yeah.
Clearly, had a huge reason as to why he was so successful, and you saw some of the numbers. It was just, listen, this is the year of McVay. I don't really care if he wins in 6 days, what really happens, the boy genius, so much to the point that people that were even on his side, they're like, yeah, this guy's kind of special, youth movement in the NFL, by this point are as tired of hearing about McVay as they are about Brady, and that's been 18 years of Brady, and it's only been 8 months of McVay, but I think it speaks volumes to just how great a year McVay has had, and the lore and the luster that's being built around this kid in his first Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, and what he's done has been incredible. He's completely taken this league by storm. He's introducing a new era of football to the NFL.
Yeah,
opening it up and spreading people out. You know, and what he did last year and is just continued this year. It wasn't that long ago that people said Jared Goff was a bust and all this and blah blah blah.
Well, some people are still saying it, depending on what shows you listen to here in Las Vegas. Yeah. Talking to you, Adam Hill.
Yeah, and now you look at it and look at what he's doing and I think I do think it has a lot to do with Sean McVay and how he's he's looked at Jared Goff and said, okay, this is what Goff can do well. So that's what we're going to do. You know, you do have some people who are stuck in their ways, per se, and they want to make people something that they're not. You know, he's looked at everybody on this team, mm-hmm. said, this is what you do well, this is what you do well, this is what you do well. So guess what? We're going to all do our certain things that we do well, and together, here they are in the Super Bowl.
You know, I just kind of thought about this. As this guy sets trends and as the whole league kind of gazes upon Sean McVay and his coaching tree and who he's spoken to and who he had soup with in 1999 and all these little things that people are trying to latch onto, I'm having this interesting thought, and I believe he's the type of guy that could do this. Now, I'm not saying he's going to, but we hear about it all the time in the NFL, rookie contracts, rookie quarterback contracts to be specific, how important that is. Obviously, Goff is on it, Trubisky's on it, there's others.
Russell Wilson when he was on his.
Yep, that's a great point. But you were talking about McVay's scheming, right? He feels like a guy and a coach that could be the first to do this. And I don't know if it would really be a problem. I don't know if I'd have a problem with it. That is, keep using rookie quarterbacks. Keep drafting. When Goff is done here in 2 years, be done with him. Yeah. I don't care how many. I don't care if he wins the next three Super Bowls.
Move on.
Get that rookie contract, thus allowing you to stack your defense and staff your offense to the point to where You don't need a Tom Brady. You don't need a Pat Mahomes. You don't need a guy that is just a game changer. You just need a guy who you can use to fit your system and plug and play.
Yeah.
I with the way contracts are becoming, and you see the Raiders supposedly not being able to pay a max player like Khalil Mack. Well, we can't play two max players. Well, why do you own a franchise if you can't pay your two best players?
Yeah.
You're in a billion-dollar league and a billion-dollar franchise, and I don't, as a fan, I don't want to hear that you can't pay. Now, if you're going about it, if you're doing it in a scheme way, if you're doing it with a long game in mind, if you're playing the long game, if you will, I wouldn't have a problem with this. It's just something I don't know if anyone's actually thought about, but I think it could be implemented. But it's such a foreign idea because in this league, it is so quarterback oriented. Look at Joe Flacco. Look at Matt Ryan. Like, I mean, I guess Joe Flacco is a better example. Matt, yeah.
Well, you can. The only elite offensive skill position on that team is Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, what the elite status that we're sitting here talking about.
You're talking about when Cooper Kupp went out, like that was the X factor. People were like, Cooper Kupp's out, like, oh, exactly. It's like, what do you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's where this team is at. Where they're trying, and they do the same thing with the Patriots. Oh, Tom Brady doesn't have so-and-so. It's like, listen, it's very much a system.
Yes.
And in the case of Brady, Brady is Gurley. Now he's getting way more legs out of his career than Gurley ever will.
Yeah.
But you're right. As far as that one staple, that one cornerstone, Gurley is that for the Rams. And really, it's their... in what their defense could be, assuming that they all play up to their capabilities.
What their defense was,
right?
You know, just a couple years ago, you know, this defense was that their defense was the team, and now you know, since McVay has come there, they've completely gone offense oriented. But yeah, it's, you know, do I think McVay is going to do that? No, I see McVay being a guy who trusts Jared Goff, mm-hmm. you know, and they've developed that relationship, and I see him and Goff having, you know, I'm not going to say a Brady Belichick relationship, but you know, that's one thing off of a coach's plate when he doesn't have to worry about mm-hmm. his quarterback.
Yeah, but he's going to have to worry about that contract. If Goff wins a Super Bowl in this rookie contract, he's going to want a massive contract. And if they sign him, they're not going to be able to do the things that they want to do. And I will wonder how much it would hurt his scheming when, at the end of the day, you got to wonder how valuable is Goff. You do. I mean, because he's shown a lot of issues with consistency, and I don't know if you could fully trust him. Very similar to a Trubisky, in my opinion, in terms of he shows flashes.
Yeah.
I want to believe for the future, obviously, as a Bears fan, especially.
Yeah.
But if you're a Rams fan, the idea of letting those rookie contracts just eat themselves up and then going out and finding suitable, you know, people to kind of build around. But then again, then you're trying to teach a young guy an entirely new system and, and go through that whole insanity. But
that's what that's my take on it, is as a, if you're a coach and you know, you found a quarterback who you do trust, and I'm pretty sure McVay trusts.
But is Goff going to be good enough, truly good enough and talented enough to warrant the contract that he's going to eat up, assuming he keeps winning and getting to a Super Bowl or two?
Yeah, but
it's such a risk.
But do you want to sit back and know that in four, you know, draft a quarterback, hope that kid is, you know, turns out to be as good as Jared Goff?
I'd like to hope that if I was Sean McVay and I had a kid, I think back to Hard Knocks 2 years ago, Jared Goff didn't know which side of the country the sun set on. I'd like to think if I could take a dummy like that and turn him into a Pro Bowl, you know, Super Bowl contender, that I could do it for just about anybody.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I think McVay knows better than anybody. Obviously, it is his team, but it is going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because that's a big reason to why they're at where they're at is because of that rookie contract, and what comes of it is anyone's guess, especially as we've seen kind of the money that's been thrown around to quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes, remember that he's going to break the bank for a $200 million contract when he's up for signing. I mean, I'm okay with that, yes, but if Goff even wants 150 of that, I'm going to tell him to go kick bricks, essentially.
Yeah, see, and this all obviously depends on what happens on Sunday.
Yeah.
If this Rams team goes out, lays an egg, then I think we can talk about that. If they go out, win a Super Bowl, and you've got a young quarterback who has taken a team mm-hmm. and won a Super Bowl, so yes, it's the same as Eli Manning. Has Eli Manning ever been a truly elite quarterback?
That's the question, right?
I don't believe so. But he went out and he took his team, you know, and when it mattered, took his team on drives at the end of the game and took him to a Super Bowl. So, you know, you have that trust in him. Coughlin obviously had that trust in a quarterback, you know, who was prone to making mistakes, but had been there before, taking his team to win a Super Bowl. I got to believe if the Rams win on Sunday, Goff and McVay are going to be together for quite some time.
Yeah, and I teased earlier in the show, we kind of teased about the that video we talked about last week, the Is It Game video, you know, in the fandom. But no, they I think yesterday, the send-off, LA turned out. Like,
yeah,
there was a rumor of like a mile and a half line long of people to get, or a mile and a half long line to get into the send-off celebration. And there was a lot of great audio from that, and McVay was really fired up. But I think that gave you a glimpse. Like, we tease L.A., obviously. There's we're all football fans from different regions, and you know, there's very few actual L.A. football fans. And if they are the Raiders fans, or they go, you know, original Rams fans that were disgruntled, then there's a whole relationship with L.A. and their football teams. But the one thing that we know that is perfectly clear, if the Rams win on Sunday, this city, this team... But the city, the way it's going to react to this team, I don't want to put it up into, like, you know, Super Bowl 20 Bears type status, or like, you know, the Eagles of last year, what they mean to their cities.
Uh-huh.
But LA loves a winner.
We've seen it with the Dodgers. We've seen it with the Lakers. Those are you know, legacies of winning. If this does happen and they're getting a new stadium and all these things are happening from L.A., you got to think they're going to be one of the powerhouse markets, top three, overnight, essentially.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, you better hop on that bandwagon quick.
Right.
Because there's not going to be room for very long.
Right. I mean, it's going to be the place to be seen. 8 games a year. You know, McVay, the names. I mean, we're talking about it. We're fueling that legend.
Yeah.
But it's just going to get that much bigger. And this is another thing. Like, I know people are sick about, you know, Tom Brady being in the Super Bowl again. If you're a fan of the Rams, or really if you're the fan of anyone who's got a real chance to win in any sort of, you know, shape, form, or fashion, you should want to go out and get over on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Because it looks better for you.
Yeah.
The story is better for you if you go out and beat Tom Brady,
especially as a young quarterback, third year in the league. You come out your first Super Bowl chance. You go out and win it. You beat Tom Brady. You take down the mighty New England Patriots. Yeah, this could be the beginning of a good story for Jared Goff.
So Cameron Jordan showed up at the Pro Bowl. Obviously, no one from the Patriots or the Rams playing in the Pro Bowl. But Cam Jordan of the Saints, he wore a shirt to Pro Bowl day that it said, "Blow whistles, not games." And then at the lower part of it, it was branded. It said, "Make calls, not apologies." We were kind of talking about this in relation to what was going on in New Orleans and people being kind of salty. The four Southern California officials that were in on the game that people are saying, oh, there's a bias. I mean, forgetting the other problems that happened and Sean Payton's play call on first down. There's a lot of other things. And listen, I was as vocal as anybody the day after and how disgusting that was and how there's an imposter in the Super Bowl. That's all true.
Yeah.
But you're not doing yourself any favors. Get Cam Jordan.
It.
Yeah, Cam Jordan, what are you doing? Yeah,
get over it. Like, the whole...
I'm really surprised to see a player still sticking with
it. Oh, definitely. Well, the whole, these referees are from Southern California. Like, no, let's stop.
Right.
The refs didn't see the pass interference. They looked at it. When they saw it live, they didn't think it was pass interference. Was it a horrible call? Yes. Did they blow it? 100%.
No question.
But anybody to sit here and... speculate that they purposefully did this or they did it on purpose to, help out the Southern California team. Like, no, just stop.
This is the importance of your local government. Get out there and vote for your politicians who say they're going to put robots in sports.
Yes.
Go out and take a proactive stance. Vote on the things that matter, like robot officials. I don't know if we're going to see it. Hopefully these things, these little benchmarks, these little notches in the belt will lead to changes in the game.
I mean, things like that are always going to be a judgment call.
Yep.
So,
yeah, they won't be blind, though.
No.
My God. Well, we're over. We're going to put it to rest on this show. No more talk of that blown call. Tomorrow we got some good stuff coming up for you. I'm really excited. We're going to have Eric Decker coming on the show. Or Cody Decker, excuse me. Eric Decker would be the wide receiver. Got Cody Decker of the Diamondbacks. He's going to stop by the Mac Attack. Recap his weekend at the Royal Rumble. Talk a little Harper and Machado and look ahead to the Super Bowl this weekend. See you tomorrow.